Praise Him, praise Him. We got something to praise the Lord for. Maybe. Saved and sealed until the day of redemption. Is this microphone working or listen right here? Is it on? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, that'd be all right. I won't have to sing as loud as amen. Let's get this song. What a day that will be in G. What do you usually play it in?
F.
F? That'd be all right. Amen. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Now hit me if you will, please, on this chorus. Everybody knows that, don't you? Isn't that going to be a wonderful day?
Amen.
All right, here we go. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Yes, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. What a day that's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the Lord is good, isn't He? I really was praying and wrestling about what to preach tonight. And I really didn't know what the Lord wanted me to preach until about 3:30 this afternoon. And so I studied for about an hour and a half on the subject that I want to preach on tonight. But let me say, it is a real joy to be here again in the house of the Lord. And Renelda's got that whole side of the church all by herself tonight. Amen. If I know it's not balanced out, but you want to sit over there, that's fine. You can sit up here with me if you want to. She'll be all right. But anyway, I appreciate the privilege. I had good liberty to preach on Monday night, last night, and I kind of feel a little tug from the third heaven tonight. Praise God. Amen. Sorry that Brother Donald couldn't be with us, but we've been praying for him today, and we'll pray for him again. We've already prayed for him here, and we'll pray for him again, the Lord willing, before we leave the church tonight. The Lord is good, isn't He? Thank you for coming. Thank all of you for being here tonight in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful drive up here. We've been just running just almost right on the money every day. We had two of our grandchildren on Monday and Tuesday, and we was late in getting them or got them back to their parents, and about 5 o'clock, and by the time we was ready to go, and we have to leave every day about, we left there about 20 minutes till 5, 20 minutes to 6, didn't we? And made it all right. But I left to allow myself at least 30 minutes in case you have getting a traffic jam or something. But thank God we weren't bothered with traffic. Amen. That's a blessing. Then today, my wife kept two of the other two grandsons out at Walkertown today. And so I stayed at home and napped and slept and ate and studied the Bible and prayed. She got home. We left the house about 20 minutes till. How many of you got that King James Bible? Wave it just a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I don't think I've ever preached a revival meeting where I stayed in the same book every night. But I don't know about tomorrow night and about Friday night. I'm thinking seriously about going to chapter 4 tomorrow night and chapter 5 on Friday night. But tonight, after I left the house, I said, I think I'll preach on Elijah tonight. He was on the run from Jezebel. I'm telling you one thing you better do when the Jezebel gets on your trail, you better hit the road, say amen. But the Lord said, well, why don't you just stick with what I spoke to your heart about? And so I'm going to mind the Lord tonight. You don't have to stand tonight, but if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and I want to read 13 verses. And don't have but one preacher tonight, so I'll just take my time and we'll have a good time, won't we? Amen. Amen. Of course, I had a good time Monday night and Tuesday night with two preachers. Amen. Verse number 1, Paul is talking about the model brother here and the believer's sanctification. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now look at the verses as I read on, that you find the word faith in them, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now in Acts chapter 17, verse number 15, the apostle Paul was not moved by his afflictions. Regardless of his afflictions, he went on for the Lord as much as he could. Our afflictions may slow us down and may stop us for a while, but God can take care of our afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed therefore or thereunto. And verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now you know the tempter, my friend, and the one that causes us to get out of the will of God and causes us to tempt us to sin is the devil. The Lord does never tempt us to sin, my friend. And the Bible said, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. There's that word faith again. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Paul was a joyful Christian. In spite of his afflictions, in spite of the distresses that he had to go through, Paul never lost the joy of being saved. Now the devil knows that we are sealed until the day of redemption, and he knows that he cannot get our salvation But the devil is out trying to steal our joy, and he don't care how he does it or who he does it with, my friend. But he said in verse number 10, let's read verse number 9, if you will. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, our God. Look at verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. There's that word faith again. Now God himself and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And that word direct means to guide. Oh, I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God guides us. And I'm glad where God guides, God provides, don't he? That's a blessing. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow again in Jesus' name, the good name that's above every name. We do thank you for the wonderful day. We thank you for safety on the highway. And thank you, dear God, for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's made their way to the house of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would truly bless them. And I pray for the pastor, Brother Donald, Lord, that you may bless him and touch him. And Lord, heal his body. And I pray, Lord, as he goes to the doctor tomorrow, that Lord, they'd have some good news for him. And I'm glad you're the great physician. And I'm glad with God nothing shall be impossible. And we thank you for the church here. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless each and every one that's here again tonight. And Lord, touch me as I preach the word of the Lord. And I pray you bless our services there at the Westside Baptist Church and the dear man of God that's preaching for us tonight. I pray you bless him and use him, Lord, for your glory. And then tonight, Lord, stir our hearts and Lord, help us leave this building a better Christian than we were when we came in tonight. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I preached on Monday night concerning the church and what kind of church it was. And then last night in chapter number 2, I preached on the Apostle Paul as he showed true, genuine love to the church here at Laodicea. And tonight I want to preach on the subject out of the 3rd chapter on Paul's concern for the church. Paul's great concern for the church here. And the word concern means how it is doing. Paul was interested in knowing how the church was doing. When Paul was present with the people at the church, he would pray for them. When he was not able to be with them at the church, he would pray for them. And sometimes he would even write a letter like he did here in these two letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, to the church. The word concern means how is it doing? And then, my friend, it means care for. Now look, if you will, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 28. And notice what the Apostle Paul said. Now, you'll find that Paul went through a lot of suffering, and it gives you the scripture concerning that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and in verse number 24. I'm not going to read that, but you can read it. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 24. Read it when you get home tonight. But we find in verse number 28, Paul said, beside those things that are within. Now, Paul talked about all the things that he had to suffer on the inside of him, my friend, concerning his physical being. But he said, beside those things that are without, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul cared for the churches. He was talking about the local church. It did not make any difference if the church had 10 members or 10,000 members. The Apostle Paul was concerned about that church and those churches, and he cared for those churches. I'm telling you, God cares for his people. He cares for us one-on-one, ladies and gentlemen. God cares for us tonight, every one of us, every individual in the house of the Lord tonight. The Lord cares for us, and he is concerned about us. Look in the book of Acts, chapter number 15 and verse number 36, and you'll find something else about the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, chapter number 15 and verse number 36, and Paul said this on his second journey, on his second missionary journey, and Silas is chosen to go with him. Paul and Silas were the great team together. And the Bible said in verse number 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Praise God, he was concerned, ladies and gentlemen. He wanted to know how they were doing. A lot of times, and most of the time, when I see a preacher friend, I'll ask him this question: how is the church doing? And my friend, a lot of times when preachers see me, they will say, Preacher Paul, how is your church doing? And it's always a blessing to hear them to say that their church is doing well. And it's always a blessing when I can tell them that Westside Baptist Church is doing well and God is still blessing the church. And that's a blessing. Say amen. Amen. That's wonderful. I knew you had an amen in you. Amen. And so Paul's great concern was not just for the comfort or their safety only. He was concerned for their comfort. He was concerned for their safety. But I want to preach on that tonight, Paul's concern for the church. Number one, he was concerned for their faith, ladies and gentlemen. Their faith had been preached, my friend, by the Apostle Paul. It was Paul that preached in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Paul had preached the faith and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people, and he wanted to make sure that their faith was genuine. He wanted to make sure, my friend, of that. And so you find the word faith is used in verse 2. It's used in verse 5. It's used in verse 7. It's used in verse 10. Now, where are you going to get your faith from? In Romans 10, 17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've come this week to hear the word of God. I come this week to preach the word of God. And you've come tonight to hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will encourage you. The word of the Lord will strengthen you. The word of the Lord will make you a much better Christian, my friend. If you want to be a much better Christian, say amen. So Paul was concerned about their faith. Paul talked about comfort in their faith in verse number 2 of chapter 3. He said, and sent Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Praise God. He wanted to make sure that their faith was real, brother. Paul preached a real faith, a genuine faith, an unhypocritical faith. You know something? If you'll turn in your Bibles over in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he's talking to young Timothy, and he's talking about his mother and his grandmother about their faith. The Bible said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means pure. It means not hypocritical, my friend, but it's a pure, genuine faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now he said this. He said, faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Praise God. Do you see? Do you see? How many grandmothers do we have here tonight? Raise your hand. Amen. I know we got one or two. All right. Okay, how many mothers do we have here tonight? Would you raise your hand? Well, Paul was preaching to young Timothy, and he said, Timothy, your faith is real and genuine, just like your grandmother Lois's faith was real and genuine, and just like your mother Eunice, her faith was real and genuine. And I want you to make sure, young Timothy, that your faith is real and genuine faith, just like your grandmother Lois and just like your mother Eunice. Aren't you glad you have real faith? Aren't you glad your faith is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad your faith is in the death and the burial and the resurrection of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Praise God, Christianity is real. Praise God, salvation is real. Praise God, eternity is real. Praise God, the Christian life is real, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's real, friend. If you're saved, you got the real thing. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and in verse number 5. Look what he had to say. Paul said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, I sure am glad my faith is not in Buddha. I'm glad my faith is not in Allah. I'm glad my faith is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My faith is not in the Pope of Catholicism, of the Catholic Church. My faith is not in any person other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, and I thank God that my faith and trust is in Him. It's not in dreams, it's not in visions, it's not in works, but it's in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that suffered and bled and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank God it is real. Thank God it works. Hallelujah, it works. So Paul was concerned about their faith. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your faith is real, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't that good? And so we find that he wanted their faith. He wanted them to be steadfast in their faith. Hallelujah. We live in a wishy-washy world, don't we? We got so many people that's up and down, in and out, on and off. They don't know which way they're going. One day they're going this way. Next day they're going this way. Next day they're going this way. Next day they're going this way. Praise God, I know which way I'm going. I'm going up, aren't you? Woo! I'm about to have a good time, sure as a word. Amen. He said, I want your faith to be real. I want you to be steadfast in your faith. Look at verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Oh, my friend, steadfast. You know, I quoted that verse of scripture to you last night. Some of you probably remember it. I'm sure you do, because you sure are listening good every night. In 1 Corinthians chapter 58, chapter 15, verse 58. Whew, it'd be something that had 58 chapters in it, wouldn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Paul said, I want to know that your faith is real. I want to know that you are established, you're steadfast in your faith, because I don't want to labor and my labor be in vain. Praise God, and Paul's labor was not in vain. and my labor since I've been saved for 45 years plus, and your labor since you've been saved and laboring for the Lord. Listen, don't you get discouraged because your labor is not in vain. Oh, my friend, your labor is not. God has not forgotten you, and God knows where you are, and God knows your motives. Say amen. Woo! I like it, don't you? So, Paul was concerned about their faith. He wanted them to be strong in the faith. And boy, we can be overcomers by faith. 1 John 4:4. Ye are, that's present tense, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then 1 John 5 and verse number 4, I quoted these verses, I think, on Monday night. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Paul has said to them, I know that Satan is a liar. That's what Jesus said about him in John 8:44. And the Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to put every one of us on the shelf. He wants to silence us. He wants to close our voice. He doesn't want us to mention the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he'd love to see us get out of the will of God in a backslid condition. Hey, he'll sit out there and laugh at us if that happens to us. Say amen. Amen. Paul said, you got to watch that tempter now. He said, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Got to watch that temptation, friend. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield to that temptation. A sin to yield to it, and God said we don't have to yield to it in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. Boy, it's just by the grace of God that we're still living for the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Amen. He wants us to be strong in the faith. Look, if you will, please, in Ephesians chapter number 6 again. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 16. I read one or two verses from this chapter last night, but it's talking about the warrior's foe and the warrior's armor. And look what he said in verse number 16. Of 15 to 16. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. And that's the word wicked there is talking about the wicked one. And that's the devil. That's Satan, ladies and gentlemen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know something? A dart, look at me, please. A dart won't hurt you unless it sticks in you. I mean, no doubt if you had a dart with just a small sticker on it, just a small point, you could throw that dart at me. If I held this book, which is about a little over an inch thick, and you could throw that dart at me, and it would not bother me. It would kind of glance off of it, especially if it was a real hard shield here. As the devil throws the darts at us, then they'll just, and he will throw the darts at us. And it seems like the older that you get, and the more that you serve God, the more the devil's throwing darts at us. I'm telling you, he wants to close us up. And boy, if we'll just put that armor on, the Word of God and faith and prayer, sincerely, the devil can throw his darts all he wants to, but they'll just bounce off, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? We're more than overcome. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. In chapter number 8 of the book of Romans. I want to read that one verse. Turn over if you will, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And you know what a conqueror is, don't you? It's an overcomer. And we could not overcome if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Not only that, but Paul was concerned about their faith, their comfort. He wanted to make sure they were comforted. You know something? I'm glad God is my great comforter. And I'm so glad that I find comfort in his word. I find comfort in obeying his word. I find comfort in Christian fellowship. I find comfort in the church. I find comfort in prayer. Oh, what a blessing, my friend. And so Paul wanted their faith. He wanted them to be comforted in their faith. He wanted them to be steadfast in their faith. He wanted them to be strong in their faith. And then he wanted them to have good faith and charity. Amen. You know, you really don't know how to love somebody until you love Jesus. You really don't know what love is all about until you accept the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, the Bible said this. He said, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Now, how many of you know what that word charity means? Love. L-O-V-E. Hallelujah. And Paul got a record from them concerning their good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, we also to see you. Boy, isn't that a blessing from the Lord. I'm glad he loved me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What about that? I mean, listen, my friend, good faith and charity. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot please God without faith. Mark that down. There's no way. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, I want you to look over there. I'm giving you a whole lot of scripture, and that's what we need. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Faith and charity goes together. Isn't that a blessing to know that, ladies and gentlemen? I want to praise the Lord for that. Now wait just a minute. Something else about faith. He wanted nothing to be lacking in their faith. He said, you've got faith now, but I don't want anything lacking in your faith. I want you to know the perfect will of God for your life. Look, if you will, please, in verse number, let's look at verse number 10. Look in that same chapter. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect, and that means maturity, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And the word lacking means something still missing. I wonder if God has been speaking to anybody's heart about something that is lacking, something that is missing concerning your faith. I mean, faith and genuine faith produces activity. It motivates you to do something for the Lord. Real, genuine faith will not allow us to sit around and wait for somebody else to do all the work. Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, and we are laborers together in the Lord. Woo! James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we're going to have to confess that sin of neglect, a sin of not doing what the Lord tells us to do as Christians. Maybe it's concerning about your giving. Maybe it's concerning about your tithes. Maybe it's concerning about your talent for the Lord. Maybe it's going, are you using your talent for the Lord? Praise God, it's good to see Teresa still using her talent for the Lord, and her sister singing for the Lord. We don't give up because we're getting older. We get older, we get closer to heaven. We'll be more concerned about what we do for the Lord. Now, I know you can't do it. Now, you know yourself. Somebody said, you still jumping? I said, yeah, but not as high as I used to. Say amen. I used to jump this high, and that's about like this. We understand as we get older, we can't do what we did when I first got saved when I was 23 years old. Say amen. Oh, my goodness. Now, Paul said something right over in the next chapter, in chapter number 4, the next page over in 1 Thessalonians. And in verse number 11, look what he said in 12. And that you steady to make a whole lot of racket. Don't say that, does it? And that you steady to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have what? Lack of nothing. Nothing missing. Nothing missing. That's all you need. Nothing missing. I ate dinner today at the Mayflower Seafood Place in Madison. That's where I go fishing at least once a week. Y'all get that after a while, don't you? But the waitress came. She took my order. And I ordered baby flounder. You probably get hungry. I ordered baby flounder and a baked potato and sweet tea. And so she came and put it on the table. She said, is there anything else that you need? I said, no, ma'am. Everything I need is right in front of me. And I thought before I got through, I was going to have a bigger stomach. Are you listening to me? I was lacking nothing at that meal. I had my drink, I had my fish, I had my slaw, I had my baked potato, and I had the hush puppies. I love them things, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I feel like going and say, I want to play the hush puppies only. I thought that's funny myself, amen. Oh, yes, my friend. Nothing lacking, nothing lacking. Boy, ain't it going to be sad when we get to heaven, we stand before God, and He said, you know something? If you'd have obeyed me, if you'd have just obeyed, there were some things lacking in your life that you did not, that you would not obey me, you would not do it, you would not do what I asked you to do, and now here you are, and you'd give anything in the world, had you obeyed me, had you done what I told you to do. Better be careful at me. You know, it's real blessing to be in the will of God, but I tell you what, we better be careful, because They tell me it's a whole lot harder to get back in the will of God than it was to get out of it. Got to be careful, friend. Got to be careful. Yes, sir. Now then, did you know, my friend, that not pleasing man but God is real faith? Paul's faith was real and genuine. And he told them, and I'm going to read the verse to you, I didn't come to this church. I didn't preach to this church. I didn't come here to please man. I came here to help man by telling man the truth. By preaching the unadulterated, pure, holy word of God as it is to men, women, boys and girls as they are. That's what he said. Oh yeah, look if you will please in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Paul said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. My. Look at verse number 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God in a contrary to all men. Do you know what the word please means? I think you probably know it. If you think you know what the word please means, would you just raise your hand? You don't have to say, yeah, no. You just think you do. Well, when I tell you what it means, you're going to say, you're right, preacher. I looked it up. I looked up the word please in my Bible dictionary. It means to satisfy. Woo! Praise God. And Paul said, I didn't come to satisfy men. I came to satisfy God. I came to please the Lord. I didn't come to please men. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? Now, if you love God and you love the church and you love the preaching of the Word of God, then when the preacher gets up to preach, he's going to preach it straight. He's going to please God. And then if you're pleasing God, that message will please you. Y'all look like y'all pretty well pleased tonight. You look like you're pretty well pleased tonight. To satisfy. Yesterday, my wife cooked dinner for me and her and those two grandchildren that eat like they have never seen anything. But I'm going to tell you one thing. She had turkey tenderloin. Have you ever ate any of that? Ooh. If it's sitting on top of your head, you'd beat your brains out with your tongue getting to it. That's a good one. She had tenderloin, turkey tenderloin she cooked in the crock pot for several hours. She had green beans out of our garden, corn out of Mrs. Smith's garden. And she had hot rolls with butter all you wanted. And she had cream potatoes with brown gravy and iced tea. And I'm going to tell you, praise God, it satisfied me. Amen. Amen, brother. If you was to come eat at my table one time when my wife cooks it, you'd want to come back. Amen. I like you, praise God. Say amen. You know, God is so pleased when he has people that's out to please him and not man. I read this verse last night, but it goes along so good with the message. Again tonight, I want to give it to you. In Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Praise God, if we're going to please men, we should not even be the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, folk. Stand behind your preacher as he preaches the word of God. If it hits you,
If it hits your toes, pray that it comes to your heart. And if God speaks to your heart when the preacher's preaching and you need to get right, get right. Hallelujah. The Lord will bless you. He's not trying to please you. He's trying to please the Lord. He wants a church that would be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. I really do like that. Praise God. Don't you? So he's not pleasing man, but he's pleasing God. Real faith will do that. We are to build our faith on God's word. We're to build it on God's past experience. Has God ever did anything to you in the past that was a blessing? Raise your hand. Well, don't the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The same God that blessed us and helped us in the past is the same God that's going to bless us and help us right now in the present. And the same God that's helping us now is going to help us tomorrow, amen, because he's already in our tomorrows, and he'll be just the same tomorrow as he was yesterday and as he is today. He don't wobble on the axle. Woo! Praise God a little bit more. He's good to us, isn't he? We build our faith on God's word, God's past experience with us, and God's work for others. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to build our life on God's past experiences with us and for others and our work. God is good to us, isn't he? Did you know something? By faith, I am ready to experience death. By faith, you are ready to experience death. What did the Bible say? Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh, in Matthew 24:44. 2 weeks ago, we buried one of my older brothers, Odell. He was 80 years old. He'd been 81 years old this coming October. He'd had COPD for several years on oxygen 24/7 for 2 or 3 years, maybe longer than that. But he had surgery on his stomach, colon surgery. They had to remove 8 inches or 10 inches of his colon. And they sewed him back up and they said, if we don't operate on you tonight, that was on a Sunday night, you'll be a dead man in the morning. And if we do operate on you, chances are you're not going to make it. He said, doctor, if it's got to be done, he said, get your tools and go to work. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He lived about that happened on Sunday night. Did he live until the next Thursday, about a week after that? He lived a week and a half. And he said, Brother Paul, he'd been a preaching for about 43 years, pastor for 38 years, 3 different churches. He said, Brother Paul, he said, they told me last fall, if I had surgery, I'd never come through it. But he said, I did come through it, didn't I? But he said, I'd have probably been better off if I had not have come through it. Because he told the doctor, every doctor and nurse would come in before if he never met him, are you saved? Are you a Christian? If I'm going to get cut on, I want somebody saved cutting on me. Amen. Are you listening? You know what? His faith in the Lord Jesus Christ got him ready for death. Are you ready for death? By faith, I'm ready to experience death. Did you know Jesus experienced death for every one of us? Let me show you a verse of scripture here. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. Over in the book of Hebrews. I want to show you what the Bible says that Jesus did. He experienced death for every one of us that are saved. In verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. T-A-S-T-E spells taste, doesn't it? Did you know that word taste means experience? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, experienced death for every man. Whosoever will can come to the Lord and be saved by the grace of God. Isn't that a blessing? Your friends, your families, your foes, your neighbors, whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, I'm glad, praise God, I heard that several years ago. Faith gives peace of heart in the midst of a storm. Brother Donald's going through, his name's Donald, heard somebody call him Donnie. What y'all call him? Amen. He probably don't care which call him, I was calling him three times a day. He's going through a storm right now. He's concerned about it. He's not doing good. He's not well. He don't know what tomorrow holds, but he knows who holds tomorrow. Amen. All of us know what it is to be in a storm, don't we? Yes, you ever been in one? Raise your hand. It's not any fun, is it? Yes, sir. It's no fun. Who wants to go? But we're going to go through the storms. May I quote this again? In Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But Jesus said in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're going through the storm. But by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to get through those storms. Look in John 14, 27. I could quote it, but I'll read it. Peace, Jesus said. He's telling this to his disciples. Now getting ready to go away and going to the cross. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look at chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Boy, that a blessing from God. So Paul was concerned about their faith being real and being genuine. God is looking for some real Christians. Hallelujah. I mean, every one of us that's in this building tonight, God wants us to be real. Not hypocritical, but real and genuine. Matthew, that's the only way we can let our light shine. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, is your light shining? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All over Danville. What is this, Ringo? Ringo, sound like a western town. I like it, don't you? Ringo. Let me give you a couple more. Y'all all right, aren't you? Yes, everybody's fine? Yes, it's wonderful. You're getting a blessing? Amen. You get some good help? I want you to. Number two, Paul's concern was not only for their faith, but his concern was for their love one for another. Look at verse number 12. The Bible said, and the Lord make you to increase and abound. That don't sound like he wants us to go backward, does it? Increase. Hey, I just thought of a verse of scripture I hadn't thought about in a long time. You want me to give it to you? John 3 and verse number 30. When John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And the only way that God is going to, brother, Brother Buddy, I got to be careful how to get that out. Brother Buddy, the only way that we're going to increase in the things of the Lord is to decrease ourselves and deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him daily.
Amen.
Woo! Ain't never had no better time, praise God, preaching on that right.
Amen.
Got a good audience, that's the reason. Is that good? Amen. Look at verse number 12. The Lord said, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Increasing in our love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, in John 15 and 13. Let me get that. I think it's 13:35, isn't it? I'll find out here in a minute. John chapter number 13. Let's see what it says. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What about that? I want you to notice, if you will, please, in chapter 13 and verse number 35 now. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. Look at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's a missing ingredient in most of our churches, isn't it? In 1 John chapter number 3, turn there, if you will, please, to verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not knoweth not his, or he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Look, if you will, please, at another verse of scripture in the Word of God. Turn to 1 John 4 and verse number 7. The Bible said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse number 11 and 12 in that same chapter. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Is that where that verse of scripture reads? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. You know what one writer said about love? Love is essential to Christ's likeness and growth in grace and Christian works. Can I give that to you again? Look at me. Love is essential to Christ-likeness. Brother Billy, how are we going to be Christ-like if we don't love one another? We don't have to agree with our enemies, and I don't agree with our enemies. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:44 that we're to love our enemies. We don't condone their sin. We don't condone what they're doing. We don't approve what they're doing. But they do have a soul that needs saving, don't they?
Amen.
I think we ought to turn over there. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 44. And let's see what the good Lord says about that. Amen. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you.
You better turn now to Jude 1, only one chapter, verse 21. No work will abide which is not done in love and unselfness. Look what Jude said in chapter 1. Jude's right before the book of Revelation, verse 21. Keep yourselves in love, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Hallelujah. God, Paul was concerned about our love one for another. Hey, you know something? If I love you, I'm not going to run across this country talking about you and running you down.
Right.
I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Even if you do something I don't like, I'm supposed to pray for you. I was talking to a man the other night. He said, "Preacher," he said, "my daddy messed up. My daddy messed his life up. But," he said, "I still love my daddy. There's some things we can't fellowship on. But," he said, "I still love my daddy, and I pray for my daddy every day of my life." And he said, "I don't go across the country gossiping about my daddy, although he did wrong." Are you listening to me?
Amen.
"Because wherefore let him think if he doesn't take heed lest he fall," in 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Paul was concerned for their faith and their love, and Paul was concerned for their obedience to the word of God. Look at the last verse in chapter 13. "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Did you know, look at verse number 3 again. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Look what Paul said. "Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." When my faith is real and your faith is real, and Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, when your faith is real, he said, there'll be some obedience. You'll be willing to listen. You'll be willing to obey. In James chapter 1 and verse number 22, he said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth." The believing is doing. Believe your faith. Believe means faith, and faith means believe and depend upon and rely upon. God wants us doing something for him. He wants us, you know what, brother buddy? God doesn't want me to do anything that he doesn't want me to do. But he wants me to do everything that he does want me to do. And he wants you to do the same thing. I wonder, how long has it been since you gave somebody a gospel tract? He did say to go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come into my house, maybe feel it. How long has it been since you called somebody on the telephone and invited them to come to church? One of you ladies told me tonight, I forget which one it was, that your sister said she was going to come one night, but she wasn't able to come. Now, was that you? I knew it was one of you ladies. I ain't lost at all, you'd have. How long has it been since you just, you know how I got under conviction? I didn't even know how to be saved until I was 23 years old. I went to work at Arch Aluminum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and a man from the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown started giving me gospel tracts. And Brother Billy, I carried those tracts home. My wife had a Bible. She graduated from high school, East Shore High School, 1965, and the president of the Farmers Bank at that time, was it Farmers Bank at that time, gave every senior a Bible, a King James Bible, when they graduated from school. So she had a Bible. And she went to church. She went to the Methodist church. But that time they used the King James Bible, didn't they? I said, "You get that Bible, and I'm gonna read these verses here. Can't hold on to it. It's got life in it. You see it flying around?" I said, I'm gonna read these verses. I want you to look in your Bible and see if these verses in that Bible. I wanna know if it's real." Every one of them was. I got under conviction. Simply by somebody giving me a tract to read. Now, do y'all have tracts here? Well, if you got tracts,
I'm not going to ask you to give them out. I'm just saying you ought to. And you probably do. And that's a blessing from God. One track. You know what Brother Sammy Allen said about them tracks? He said, Brother Allen said, I'll tell you one thing about them tracks. He said, they'll track. Praise God, they will. They'll track you all the way home. Track you up and down the road. Hallelujah from God. He's good. Man, let me give you this. I'm gonna be through in a minute. Be through in just a minute. Obedience to God brings peace of heart, doesn't it? Look, if you will, please, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Back just a few pages. I'm getting ready to quit here in just a minute. Chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Colossians chapter 3, 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do you know what that word rule right there means? That particular word, it means let the peace of God rule in your heart. It means to let the peace of God govern you. Let the peace of God govern you. Because obedience to God brings peace of heart, that nothing else. Did you know that partial obedience in your life will mean weakness? Partial. I have been guilty of just partial obeying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, let me give a little illustration here, very simple. My son, one of my grandsons yesterday, they're wild, you know, you give them a piece of chewing gum, they love chewing gum. You give them a piece of chewing gum, and we sit over in the chair. I get one of the pieces of chewing gum, and he stuck it down, laid the paper down on the coffee table, table by the chair there. And so we got up. He started out, I said, hey, whoa, come here. See that paper there? Oh, yeah. I said, get that paper up. Put it in the garbage can. So he gets the paper up and he goes in the kitchen and we got one garbage can, push a button, the lid flies up, you know. And that way you don't have to bend over this far to raise the lid up. So he completely obeyed me when I said, pick that piece of paper up and put it in the trash can. Now, here would have been partial obedience if he picked the piece of paper up, and as he come by the trash can, he threw it at the trash can and hit the phone and walked out the door. That would have been partial obedience. Am I right? Is that hard to understand? I told him to pick it up. He picked it up. That's the first part. I said, put it in the trash can, and he put it in the trash can, but if he could throw it to the floor, he'd have partial obedience. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if that'll work in Danville, Virginia, not, but it does in North Carolina. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm going to give you this, and I'm through. God grant that you and I, that are saved by the grace of God, should learn the foolishness of disobedience. Did you know disobeying God is foolishness? It's foolish. We need to learn that, and then we need to learn the joy of obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you one more verse of scripture, and I think I'm through. This book will help you tonight. If you didn't get anything tonight, it's not my fault, because I prayed and I ask God to give you something. Amen. Verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians, and I'm through. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Hallelujah. That's the message, my friend. Paul's concern for the church Thessalonica. He was concerned about their what? Faith. About what? Their love. And what was the other?
The what?
Obedience.
Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, if we'll only trust and obey. Let's stand up and sing that. Come on, sister, to the piano. Come on, Brother Billy. Maybe tonight God has spoke to your heart with our heads bowed and our eyes closed all over the building. God spoke to your heart tonight about your faith being genuine, about your love being real, and about your obedience to God being real. How many of you know you're saved tonight? Would you raise your hand? Know you're saved. Thank you very much. How many will say, preacher, tonight God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart in some area that you preached tonight, or maybe in an area that I did not even mention tonight. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amen. If you're physically able, why don't you just make your way to this altar? If you're not able to kneel, just sit on the front pew. Just sit on the front pew. What page is that on?
261.
Oh, God. Lord, help us, Jesus. Much good in it. Let me sing a verse of that while you're praying. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My Father, thank You for the Word of God tonight. Thank You, Lord, for giving us good liberty again to preach. Thank You for these that have listened faithfully tonight and those that have come to the altar. And Lord, I pray that whatever their need was, that You supplied that need for them tonight. And You will help us, Lord, to be concerned about our churches. And Lord, about our faith, our love, and our obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You, Lord, for all You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Billy here in just a minute now. Come on.
tomorrow night.